studying the Bible maybe 40 years ago. Yes, about 40 years ago. I had just met who would become my wife, and she had a book. And the book was called The Power in Praise. And up to that time, I really hadn't really been, I went to church, I'd been taught, but I really wasn't studying. And she gave me the book, and it was the first, believe it or not, Bible teaching book that I'd ever really read. And it was called The Power in Praise. And that book was so awesome. It opened my eyes to something about how God really works and how we can actualize God's presence and his power in our lives. And it's very simple, and yet seems that most people don't get it. It's just praise. Praise. And so we're going to be studying that this month and looking into how we can activate that power, because praise actually covers so many areas. Amen. The scripture that I had chosen for this, as there's so many to do with praise in the Bible, but the one that I had chosen is Psalms 113, actually verse 3, but starting from verse 1, it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from the time, this time forth, and forevermore. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised." And many times, we don't feel like worshiping. We don't feel like praising. We don't even feel like coming to church, right? When stuff is going bad and we've had a bad week, we just feel like, at least men anyway, they just want to go to their empty space, empty box, right? We don't want to talk to anyone. We don't want to deal with anyone. Because, you know, men, unless they know how to fix it, they don't want to talk about it. Women want to talk about it. What are you going to do? And that just drives men crazy. They just want to sit and sit still and be quiet because they don't know how to fix it. When they know how to fix it, then they'll want to talk to you. But until then, they don't want to talk. So sometimes we get that way, you know, with God. We don't want to, we have this problem, we have this issue, we don't know how to deal with it. And yet we won't talk to the one person who could help us really solve the problem. So we're going to look at some topics this month on praise. And part of praise is worship. And this first lesson is going to be somewhat of an overview, but we're going to go into some real detailed stuff next week. Thankfulness. Thankfulness. Praise is thankfulness. Part of praise is just being grateful. And there's a power just being grateful. Who would you like to help? Someone who, when you help them, is always thankful, or someone who thinks that they're supposed to have that? Right. Amen. One of the reasons why the children of Israel did not make it through the wilderness is because they became unthankful. No matter what God did for them, it was like, "You owe me more." Let's not get that attitude that God owes us anything. Amen. So there is a part of praise that's just being thankful. Lord, thank you. You woke me up this morning. Most mornings I wake up now, I say, "Thank you, Lord. You woke me up this morning." You know why? Because I hear of people younger than me now passing. I've got to the age where, you know, okay, it'd be a little young. Be a little young if I didn't wake up, 62. But still, there's people 58, 56 that you hear about and they just don't wake up. Every morning now, first thing I do is say, "Lord, thank you. Got me through another night." Amen. Amen. We need to be thankful. That is part of praise. And it's a powerful part of praise, because the more thankful you are, the more God will want to do more for you. When he healed the 10 lepers, only one of them came back. He said, "Weren't there 10 of you?" Only one of them came back to thank him for something that was incurable. When last have you just thanked God for something that he's done for you? Amen. I tell you, I was meeting with someone yesterday, a parent, and they were telling me how they had received a letter for their, for, for, uh, for, for their birthday from one of their children, and how it just made their day, their month, their year, because now that their child has grown up and is experiencing life, you know, us parents become much smarter. And the letter just was so encouraging because they were thankful. Imagine if we sent a letter to God thanking him. Lord, thank you. Yes, my journey has not always been perfect, but I'm grateful I'm here. You've taken me through some many battles, some as the song says, through many toils and snares, I have already come. You know, amazing grace. So we're going to be looking at thankfulness. We're going to be looking at praise as a weapon. Did you know praise is a weapon? Praise is a weapon. There's nothing better than when someone's out to get you and you're still happy. They thought they had you down. They thought they had the knife in your back. And they can't understand why you're still joyful. Why you're praise is a weapon. And it's a great weapon for the devil. That gives him a black eye. When he thinks you should be down, when he thinks he's kicked you and everything's going wrong and you are still worshiping, you are still singing, you are still joyful. So we're going to be looking at how praise is also a weapon. And then, of course, most of all, praise is faith in action, because you can be praising God and you're still in a bad situation. See, praise is related to joy. You know, about 3 o'clock on a Friday, you know, people start getting more cheerful. Why? Soon be time to go home, right? One more hour, or whenever your shift ends, you start looking at the clock, okay. And even though nothing has changed, you're still in the work, you're still sweating, you're still doing what you're supposed to do, but your attitude changes because you have an expectation. Okay, one more hour, half an hour, 30, 15 minutes, then I can go home. See, so praise, you can be praising and you can have a joyful attitude even when your situation hasn't changed. Why? Because you have a hope. Hope is based upon faith. Amen? So we're going to look at how praise is actually faith in action. When you start praising God for something you don't even have yet, you can't even see, you don't even know how it's going to work out. See? So we're going to be looking at some of those topics to come, and this week we're going to do a little bit of an overview. So why should we praise God? There's no wrong answer. Anyone? Why should we praise God? Okay. Anyone else? Why should we? Why does God deserve our praise, sister? He's merciful. Okay. We were created to praise, Sister Fallon. Okay. Okay, Sister Lavinia. Amen, amen. All of those are good answers. Yes, Eric. Amen. Good answers. You know, when we magnify God, you know what that does to our problem? It makes it smaller. You have a choice. You can dwell on all your bad situation. And in your mind, that'll grow bigger. Or you can dwell on God and magnify him, and your problem will start to shrink. You know, when we magnify God, when we praise God, we're actually making our problem look smaller. Amen. So praise covers all those things. Let's see. Praise discharges strength in faith, which causes God to move on our behalf. Psalms 8:2 says, from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Praising God also transforms the spiritual environment. When you start to praise God, it's like off for mosquitoes. You know, when you want to get rid of mosquitoes, what do? Spray some off. If you want to get rid of doubt and fear and some terrible negativity, just start thanking God. Just start praising God. It'll change your atmosphere. It's like spraying off for demons. They can't stand that. Try it sometime. Go against what you feel. You feel like being in a bad mood and snapping at people and slamming the door. Praise is actually a choice. David said, I will praise God. It's not that we're in a good mood necessarily, but once you start to spray that praise all around you, it changes the atmosphere. And it will change your spirit. Amen. I'm just going to go straight to the Old Testament and give you an example. I said this week will be an overview about praise. In Joshua chapter 6, the children of Israel had crossed over Jordan, and they had come to their first test, the city of Jericho, which was a huge city. It had walls that they say were 60 feet high and 20 feet across. Chariots could race around the top of the wall. And there was no way of them taking the land without getting past Jericho. It says, so the people shouted. You know the story how God told them how to win this battle. And it wasn't with them fighting. Sorry if it's a little bit cool in here today. We set it at 70, but we'll turn it up soon. This wall was so thick, they didn't have any siege engines, they didn't have anything. All they had was swords. And there was no way for them to get into that city. But God told them, this is what you do. You march around the city. See, that's praise in action. Like, this doesn't make no sense. Sometimes God tells us to do things. It makes no sense. I can imagine some of the soldiers says, well, boy, I don't know what Joshua's up to, but this makes no sense. He's telling us we've got to march around the city, quiet-like. And then we got to march around the next day. By the third day, I bet there were some people grumbling. What? I got to do this again? What's happening here? This is not doing anything. But you know, they were setting the atmosphere. On the seventh day, you know, they marched around seven times. And then God said to shout. They had to shout before the wall came down. Think about it. Can you shout and start thanking God? Can you do a praise dance before you get your blessing? Does that make any sense? But that's faith in action. That's the power in praise. I recommend you all get that book, The Power in Praise. It tells of some tremendous miracles that were done. Sister Jeanette? Yes. Yes, Merlin Carruthers. He's written several books. But that book is so powerful because it details so many miracles that were done just by praising God. It's really faith in action. I can imagine the people said, wait a minute, Moses, Joshua, we've been around this city six times, and today we're worn out. You made us march around it seven times. Now you want us to shout like as if we won the battle? Think about it. You're facing some trials right now. Anyone in here not facing any trial? Anyone in here living a perfect life? Just no problems? Imagine in your prayer that you start shouting. Thank you, Jesus, for the victory over this. Thank you for my healing. And you start jumping up and down. First of all, the devil's going to be scratching his head and saying, what? This is not how it's supposed to work. But this is the power in praise. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout, the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. They didn't have to bring any kind of weapons to the wall. God took care of it. You know, there's an old spiritual that says Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, but that's a lie. Joshua had nothing to do directly with fighting the battle of Jericho. In Joshua chapter 5, we know who fought the battle of Jericho, because he met him. He met this man who was called the commander of the Lord's host. And when God fights for you, when you empower God to fight for you, before the battle is over, start shouting and claiming the victory. Amen. Yes, we had to pray three times on the phone with Sister Shanita, but we didn't give up. Amen. And Satan said, well, they're not going to give up until I leave her alone tonight. There is a power in praising God. There is a great power. We are called to praise. 1 Peter 2:5 says, he also, speaking about the church, also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and an holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Praise can be a sacrifice, especially when you don't feel like it. When you're just having your worst day, you feel mad at people. Imagine now to open your mouth and say, you know what? God, I'm going to put that down. I'm going to start thanking you. I'm going to start worshiping you. That is a spiritual sacrifice. That's what this scripture says. Offer up spiritual sacrifice. How do you offer up a spiritual sacrifice? It's something you don't want to do. Something you don't even feel like doing. You'd much rather, I'm sure, as I said, Sunday morning, the bed is always the best, right? And when you look at the clock and, man, it's already that time, I got to get up. Spiritual sacrifice is acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. I tell you, the reason why the wall fell down was because they praised God before. They couldn't see it. They didn't really know how it was going to work. All they were doing was being obedient. Joshua said, we got to do this. And on the seventh day, go around this city. And it wasn't a small city. It probably took them most of the day. And it was hot and dusty. And then at the end of that, they're supposed to shout. But when we obey God, when we do what he asks us to do, even if it makes no sense, even if it looks impossible, that's when the victory will come. After they shouted, God had to act. God had to act. He just had to act. Something had to happen because these people have done everything I told them to. When we are obedient to God, when we do the right thing, when we start worshiping, and the Bible says he, and I say this every Sunday, he inhabits the praises of his people. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever your situation is, there is almost a law of praise. When you start worshiping, you entertain God's presence. Not only that, it brings favor. Look at this. Acts chapter 2, 47. It says, praising God and having favor. Having favor. Now, I've lost not too many jobs. But I tell you this. Any of the places I've left, I could always go back to. You know why? Not because I was so good. You know, I've told you I'm no good. But God's favor. God's favor. God can make you look so much better than you really are. Amen. When you start praising God, it changes your countenance. You can't have but a smile on your face if you start to think. When I think of the goodness, as the song says, of Jesus and all that he has done for me. Sister Johnny.
I'm sorry, Pastor, but I can't help but to give him some praise for
Amen.
What happened to me yesterday. I hadn't seen a person in 30 years, and I had no way to get no ticket to see him. And so I immediately just started to talk to God. I said, Lord, I said, you know I want to see this person. I said, I haven't seen him in 30 years. I say, if you make a way that you let me see him, I'll tell him about Jesus. And I'm telling you, I'm amazed at how God does things, because God has showed me that he don't dwell in a box. He said, bid it according to your own faith. And I asked the Lord to let me see this person, and they performed and everything, and we was out in the audience, and after everything was over, they went in the back, and something spoke to me and said, because they said they was from California, but I knew they was from my hometown. And so something spoke to me and said, tell the security guard to go tell him that Johnny May is here from Clarksdale, Mississippi. And that's what something told me to say. And I told the security guard, I say, can you go back there and tell Tony that Johnny May is here from Clarksdale, Mississippi? And he said, well, how you know him? I said, I went to school with him. And I said, we used to walk together to school and everything. He said, you lying? I said, no, I'm not. I said, just go say my name. He went and said the name. And they ordered me to come to the back. And I just want to praise God for giving me a VIP. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen. I tell you what, praise can open doors. Praise can open doors. You see, praising God, in Acts 2:47, when they started worshiping God, it says they had favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily, such as I've said so many times, us Christians, us believers in Christ, should be the happiest people out. But that's not the case most of the times, right? Not the case most of the time. We let so much stuff get inside our system. I told you the story. I don't know if he's going to be listening to this, but my former pastor was late for church. You remember this, Brother Eric. He was late for church, driving down the freeway, and he's the pastor, and he's supposed to be there, and somebody kind of cuts him off. And, you know, he starts shaking his fist at him and all of that, and the guy is following him, and the guy pulls into the church parking lot and is coming to the church. Now he has to get out and greet him. See, sometimes we let stuff take away our Christian attitude. We should be the most joyful, happiest person. If you believe and know who you are and what God has called you to and what he has done for you, you should be happy, because I can't lose. Even if it looks like I'm losing, I'm still going to win in the end. The most important three words of Romans 8:28 is the first three. You all know it, right? And we know. Let's say it together. And we know that all things work together for the good. The first three words are the most important. If you don't know, then the rest of it doesn't mean anything. But if you can say and mean it and believe it, and we know, that means if you lose your job, it's and we know. If you get sick, it's and we know. If you get a huge bill you don't know how to pay, it's and we know that all things. If you have a family situation, you can still say, and we know. Now, the situation may not be good, but God can take a negative situation and turn it around. What you have to do is get an attitude of praise. Get an attitude of worship. I've said this so many times, but I'm going to say it again. One of the greatest examples, I don't have it in this lesson this week, but to me the greatest example of why David was such a special person was, you know, that after he sinned, Bathsheba had a baby. They had a baby together. And the baby got sick. And David prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed for 7 days that God would heal the baby. But the baby still died. But here's where the amazing thing about this. The Bible said that after David found out the baby died, you know, he could have gotten so bitter and mad at God and cursed God and said, God, look at what you've done. You never saved this baby. You know what he did? You all know what he did, don't you? The Bible said he got up, anointed himself, went to the church, went to the synagogue, and worshiped, praised. Can you do that after your baby just died? That's why God called David a man after his own heart. We should be the most joyful people. People should want to be around us. Why are you so happy? Because I know where I'm going. I'm blessed and highly favored. Amen? And I mean that. I am blessed and highly favored. You may not see it right now, but I am blessed and highly favored. That's what the angel came and told Mary. Hail Mary. You're specially chosen. You are blessed and highly favored. Well, you mean I'm going to get pregnant and I'm not married and it's going to look real bad? Yes, you are still blessed and highly favored. Now, to everyone around, that didn't look so good. How this young lady get pregnant and she's not even married yet? See, the Bible said Mary kept these things in her heart because she knew how this happened. She knew that God had specially overshadowed her. Sometimes what you're going through doesn't look good to the world, but if you will believe those first three words and have a praise in your heart, and we know, can you say it? And we know, then the rest of it can apply, that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. You see, praising God can find you favor. Amen. Let's go on. And true praise will change your attitude. You may have come here today just because someone invited you or because you felt that you had to. It was Sunday. You had to go to church. But I'm telling you, if you will put all of that down and start to listen to the words that I'm speaking, not my words. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. If you will eat those words spiritually, they'll change your attitude. You may go home and start shouting before your wall of Jericho comes down. And look what God will do. Amen. Not only that, but praising God releases prisons. It opens doors. Let's look at this. Paul and Silas had been arrested. They had been beaten. And they'd been put in jail. Now, not kind of like our jails. I've been to a few jails here. And yeah, they're bad, but back in medieval times, there was no comparison. Not only that, they were bound and put in stocks. They were in the deepest part of the jail. No lights, no running water. Probably there was vermin all over the place. Probably it smelled terrible. It was terribly stink and bad and damp. And they were going to be executed. Think about this. This is what they were facing. In Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and did what? Sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. They were probably saying, "Why don't you shut up, you crazy fools? Don't you know you're going to be executed tomorrow?" That didn't shut them up. They started singing more. They started worshiping God. And I tell you, praise releases prisons. When God sees you praising him, and the devil is going to have to scratch his head, "What's happened? I threw them in prison. Don't they know they're going to be executed, beheaded tomorrow? Aren't these people crazy?" He's got to go away. He's got to go away and come up with another plan. And the Bible says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. Praise will release prison doors. Praise will shake up your situation. And the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. And you see what happened now? They are praising God, but their praise is so affected, it releases everybody else in the prison. Your praise can affect your whole family. Your attitude of praise and worship can bleed into everyone else. That's why, as Christians, if we believe what we are saying, we should be happy. Now, in this flesh, sometimes, yeah, the devil's going to get to us. But that, we shouldn't stay down in the mud. We should say, "You know what? I got to get out of here. I got to get my praise on. Get a good gospel music on and start worshiping God. Get a book out and start to get some words of encouragement." At midnight, they started to pray and to worship God and say, "Lord, thank you that we were able to suffer for you." When have you ever prayed that prayer? Anybody pray that? "Lord, thank you that I'm in this bad situation." A bit quiet. I'm all guilty of that too. See, that's how we are. Let's try it. Let's try it. When you go home tonight and you pray, think of a negative situation you're dealing with. Say, "Lord, thank you." You know what this means? You're going to do a miracle. You're going to open a door. You're going to release a prison. You're going to change this family situation. "This person I've been praying for, Lord, or this situation, I thank you for it, because this is how you're going to get glory. This is how I'm going to be able to come and say, this is what God did." As they say, you can't have a testimony without the test. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. So the foundations of the prison was shaken. And here's the amazing part. It wasn't just them that got released. Every single prisoner in the whole prison got released because of just two people starting to worship God in their negative situation. That's the power in praise. It's easy to praise God when you just got some money, when you just got a job. That's no sacrifice. Remember, it said sacrifice, spiritual sacrifice. Where it becomes a sacrifice is when you're at your lowest, when you can't see a way out, when the situation is so negative and looks so bad. That's when you take your spirit of praise. Put on your garment of praise, the Bible says, and you start to worship God. And that's when the earthquake will happen. That's when the place will be shaken. That's when God will show up, because what you have just done is put the power in praise. Hallelujah. Praise is faith in action. That's what I'm saying. In 2 Chronicles 20:21, we see that it came to pass that Israel had been attacked, and the king didn't know what to do. They were well outnumbered. They were so far outnumbered, it wasn't even funny. But look what Jehoshaphat did. "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers." Wait a minute, did you say singers? Don't you understand, Jehoshaphat? We've got an army out there with shields and knives and spears. wait a minute, why aren't you putting the army out there? Jehoshaphat did this. He appointed singers, praise worshipers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness. I can imagine the other army kind of looking and going, what's going on over there? Look at these crazy people. They've put the choir out. They've put the choir out. The choir is coming to meet us. Little did they know. Little did they know what was going to happen. That they should praise the beauty of holiness and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 22. You see, when you start to praise God, God will do the rest. They didn't even have to have one person go out and fight. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord, everyone say the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab. 300,000 came to fight Israel. And he's put the choir out. Think about it. Have you ever done that? You're facing something really bad. You know what we do? We try and work. Okay, how am I going to pay this bill? Or, let's see, if I don't pay this one this month, I can do this the next month. Or we're trying to get someone to change. And we're just thinking about how we can do it. And the truth is, we cannot do it. What we need to do is start to say, Lord, you are my Father. I'm going to put this on you. I can't fix this issue. Instead, I'm going to worship. I'm going to thank you for the times you have helped me. I'm going to remember when you did help me slay the bear and the lion. I'm going to give you the praise, Lord. In fact, I'm going to shout and start to believe that you're going to do something. So Jehoshaphat put the singers out front before the army, and God started to work. And when Judah, and everybody knows what Judah means, don't they? Praise. So when praise came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, the whole army was already dead. Sister Shanita.
I just wanted to say that when I moved into my house June the 5th, it was a blessing unto God. And then Kizia lost her job. So all the bills were stuck on me. I wasn't mad. And it was like bill collectors calling, you know, like at least three or four of them. The devil wanted me to get mad, but I was happy. I was like, I'm here. You know, I got a shelter over my head. I have food. God provides. I run to church. When church is closed on Sunday, oh, I have a pity party because I just love being here. And amen. I thank God for the zeal.
Amen. You see, when we put faith in action through praise, that's all we have to do is start thanking God. Lord, I don't know how to fix this situation. Jehoshaphat looked at what he was facing and said, you know, there's no way we can win, so we're not going to even try. Instead, we're going to worship. We're going to praise God. We're going to thank him because we are his people. Do you believe you are his people? If you were baptized in his name, if he has filled you with his spirit, then you belong to him. Jesus said, nothing, no one is stronger enough to pluck you out of his hand. Amen? We're the only ones who can walk away from Christ. If we will stay there, there is nobody or nothing. The Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of God? And he starts to name off all kinds of stuff, tribulation, peril, heights, width, breadth, nothing. So we see that praise alone can win the battle. Just start thanking God. Start worshiping him. Even when you don't understand how it's going to work or what's going to happen. So praise is actually faith in action. And then also praise, as I've said before, brings you closer to God. It invites God's presence. Let's look at this in the Old Testament. In 2 Chronicles 5:13, they finally finished after 7 years building this beautiful temple. It's probably was the greatest structure ever built, although it wasn't large in terms of construction and in terms of beauty. There was probably no building ever built that was compared to Solomon's temple. Completely gold inside and outside and overlaid. Made without even a hammer. They weren't allowed to make a hammer noise at the site. They had to do all of the rocks and everything had to be press fitted. Everything had to be so aligned. They weren't allowed to desecrate the site by actually doing any work at the site. And when this building, after 7 years of labor, was finally finished, Solomon had a dedication feast, and he had called all of Israel, and they had a time, they had a party. They had a party just worshiping and praising God. For almost 500 years, all they had to worship God in before that was a tent. That's how they had worshiped God, starting from when they left Egypt. They had the Ark of the Covenant in a tent for 500 years. It was 490 years when finally they built a building. And they just started to have a praise service. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, the people were so happy. Probably this was the pinnacle thus far of Israel's history. They had had 40 years of David's rule, and peace finally had come. And under Solomon, God gave them 40 years of peace. And this was when Israel was at its peak. And they'd finally built this temple. And the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and instruments of music, I know there are some churches that don't believe in having any music. I really don't understand that, but anyway. When they had lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Praise invites God's presence. Praise invites God's presence. When they started dedicating the temple and worshiping, the temple itself was filled with a cloud. They couldn't even go in there because the presence of God. Wouldn't it be great today as we worship? I mean, really worship, not just go through the motions of singing a song, but say, "God, I want you to fill this house. More than that, I want you to fill this house. Take out all the stuff that you don't like. Clean me up." The key was, it says, they were on one accord, were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising. I think around this block, if we did that, all the demons for a mile or two would have to go away. Be like spraying some off around here. Praising and thanking God. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome? About 2 years ago, one Thursday night, we were here praying, and I believe I saw a vision. It was like snowflakes, but it wasn't snow. It was like some gold stuff was falling right from there. And I know a couple of times on the cameras we've seen stuff flying around that we couldn't see. We couldn't see when it was being recorded, but later on I was looking at the thing and there were these little gold things. I still have the film, one of these, I have to show it to you again. I want God's presence to fill this house, that when people come in, when you're sitting there, if you're sick, the word, the manifestation of the power of God will just deliver you. And that happens through praise. When we start to really say, "God, will you come down to this little church on this corner of 21st and Highland and fill this atmosphere?" We're probably the least of all the hundreds of churches today that are worshiping God, but God, if our praise, if we're unified, if we are really thinking on you and just saying, "God, we love you today. We don't understand what we're going through, but we trust you, Lord. And we're going to shout and be on one accord." Hallelujah. Praise not only brings us into God's presence, but it can change our thinking. It can change our thinking. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true." See, that's the trouble with gossip. It may be true, but it's not good. So don't even think about it. It's not helping you. So-and-so, did you hear about so-and-so? The Bible says we got to work out our own salvation. I can't be bothered about someone else's salvation. I got my own issue that I need to come before God about. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Every now and then I take this scripture and I paste it on my Facebook page because you got so much trash and stuff that don't need to be on there. You know, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. No wonder we're depressed and down and, you know, because we're thinking about all the wrong things. Why don't you think of a happy thought? I can think of many. I can go back and think of all kinds of thoughts that God just blessed me. I remember when I was 18 and I was at high school and I was living in a different country at the time, and the Queen of England's birthday was her 25th birthday. And so as a celebration, they chose two high school students from each school in London, England, where I was living, to get a free 6-week trip, all expenses paid, to Jamaica. So I was chosen. I was one of them chosen. Out of my high school, me and then one other guy were chosen. So you think I went around, oh man, woe is me. Can't even find some shoes. Oh no, 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 no. You couldn't stop me smiling for a week. My face hurt. My cheeks was like this. You know where I'm going? I'm going to Jamaica for 6 weeks, all expenses paid. I'm thinking about that now. I'm praising God. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest. Can't you ever think of a good thing God has done for you? Stop thinking about the negative. And then when you think of the good things, say, thank you, Jesus. You chose me out of several thousands of thousands of thousands of people. You chose me. He chose you to be here today. Amen. Think about all the blessings God has done for you. There's enough negative things. You don't have to think about those things. But if you want to get your praise on, just think of how God delivered you. I've had about 3 or 4 serious, serious car accidents. You know, where the vehicle was total, and I got to walk away. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Car was total, squashed up like this. I don't know how. Well, I know how I walked away. It was Jesus. I can think about that and say, Lord, you kept me alive for another day. Amen. Instead of thinking about, okay, how are we going to do this? I'm going to praise you. I'm going to thank you, Jesus. Because I want my Jericho wall to come down. So I'm going to shout before I see it happen. If there be any praise, think on these things. Lots of times we're thinking on the wrong things. That's not praise. You can't get into a spirit of praise if all you're thinking about is woe is me. And how bad the day is going and how bad the year. Start to think about the good things. The good things. The good things that God has done. Maybe your relationship isn't that great, but maybe you have a son or a daughter out of that relationship. That's a good thing. Right? Let God deal with that man or that woman. He can fix it. But you start to praise God anyway for the good things that have come out of that. If only it was the child. If there be any praise, think on these things. We see in the New Testament that when Jesus presented himself, and I'm hurrying to finish, that's what they did. They worshiped. Matthew 21:16. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, you know who was praising Jesus most? It was the children. Children shouting in the temple area. I don't know if you missed that. We remember the part they were saying Hosanna, but the Bible in Matthew says it was children praising and saying Hosanna to the Son of David. The older people got indignant. Why are you so happy? You know, sometimes people get mad when you're happy. Like, why are you so happy? You're not supposed to be happy. But children are by nature happy. They come in here, they don't care. They're going to play. They're going to head to the nursery, find some toys. They're going to be joyful. Man, I got to come to church. And man, look at the time. He's taking too long. They don't care. They're here to worship and play and have a good time. Imagine if that was our attitude. Hosanna to the Son of David. And so the older people were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? Don't you hear what they're saying? Jesus said, yes. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise? That's why Jesus said, except he be converted and become as a little child. Most children don't go around unhappy all day. You leave them alone, they'll find something to play with. Even if they have no toys, they'll make up toys. They'll get your, when I was little, I'd get the clothes peg and make a train. You ever did that? I'd clip them all together and make a train. Okay, well, maybe you guys didn't do that. Am I that old? Of course, now you have these phones and iPads and stuff. You stick them in front of that. Amen. Praising God, the other thing about praising God, it keeps us humble. Because praise is exalting God and at the same time bringing ourselves down. We are not worthy. Matthew 18:3 says, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child. Little child. You ever heard these children embarrass the parents because they're shouting out, they're happy in a store and they're just embarrassing you. Look, mom, they don't care. We need to embarrass some people and praise God. Because praising God humbles ourselves. It brings us down. That's what praising God will do for you. And lastly, praising God is a choice, as I've said. This is what Jesus, when he, after he was baptized and he was starting his ministry, he went back to his hometown and he went into the synagogue and they handed him the scroll from the book of Isaiah. And he started to read, and I'm just going to go down to verse 61, verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise, hallelujah, for the spirit of heaviness. Today, if you came in here all heavy, you, as I said, all of us have problems. I refused to let my problem be magnified. Praise and worship is a choice. You just start worshiping God. When I was in my teens and I would come home from school and I was not feeling in the best of moods, I would come in and I would sit at the piano and I'd start playing. And at first I'd start playing real, you know, like funeral music, you know, real dirges. But if I sat there long enough, you could tell how my mood was changing because the music started to change. And by the time I left there, I was playing some, you know, bumping music. And I got up with a big smile on my face and I had purged all of that stuff. There was joy back in my spirit. You know what? I was worshiping. This is your opportunity today in our second service to worship. In a manner of speaking, to shout before your Jericho wall falls down. The garment of praise. Praise is a choice. You have to put it on. You can say, no, I'm going to just fold my arms and, as my former pastor used to say, sit like a bump on a log. He used to say that. You can be a bump on a log. You know what a bump on a log does? Nothing. Nothing. Or you can choose to say, you know what? I'm going to worship you today, Sister Jeanette.
I was thinking this week about addictions and how it's really a lack of faith because we lose our hope and so we look to something else. But if we can keep our hope and keep our faith, everything's always going to work out all right. But addictions happen when we lose our hope and we lose faith. But praise will get our faith back.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. The joy of the Lord. Restore to me the joy of the Lord. That's what David said. So praise is a choice. Just start, even if you don't feel like it. Even if you don't feel like standing up and waving your hand. Just start to do that. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. When we start to praise, we're giving glory to God. We're honoring him. And actually, the devil is the one who wants our praise. That's what he told Jesus during the temptation. If you will Bow down, worship me. That's what he wants. He wants your praise. He wants to take away your joy. He wants to steal all of that from you. Almost finished. Praise also will actually, once you start praising God, will reveal God's purpose. We see that the disciples, the apostles were trying to decide what direction to go. They were trying to see where they should minister next. Acts 13:2. And as they ministered to the Lord, and you miss it because they use that old-fashioned word minister that means to serve. But really, what it was saying, as they praised, as they worshiped and fasted, the Holy Ghost revealed what was to happen. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I have called them. As they started to praise, you have a problem, you have a decision that you don't know what to do, and you don't know how to work it out. Again, just start praising God. Hallelujah. As they ministered to the Lord, that means as they served the Lord, as they were in service, as they started to worship, God revealed what they should do. Let's go back to the last first story that I started. Joshua 6:20. I'm going to wrap this up now. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. If you could stand with me. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. See, this is the power of praise. Because what it's doing is giving it all to God. Amen. Actually, not only that, but as I've been teaching the weapons of our warfare, if you remember the studies I was teaching, how powerful the word is. The Bible says that everything that we see was formed by the word of God. As a child of God, he gives us those words. The words that we speak, they can be spirit and life, right? Words are so powerful. It's what comes out of a man. It says, by your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. And we can condemn ourselves by being so negative with what we say. But when we start to be positive and say, Lord, I thank you. I declare I'm going to have a blessed day today. I choose to praise you, God. My flesh don't feel like it. My flesh was mad. The kids did something. I lost my keys. My flesh don't feel good right now, but I'm going to put my mind, I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to serve you today. I'm going to lift up my hand. I'm going to thank you. I'm going to bless your name. I'm going to put on the garment of praise. When we do that, we are armored up. I'm telling you that. I think the worst thing the devil can't stand is someone worshiping God. Because he knows there's such a power in praise. Hallelujah. I hope today that this word has ministered to you. I hope you will try it out. I hope tomorrow morning when you get up, you will start just worshiping God and start, I'm going to put on a garment of praise. I'm going to start worshiping you from the get-go. I'm going to declare that I'm going to have a great day today. And nothing is going to take away my praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me, Father, we thank you this morning for filling this atmosphere with your spirit. Lord, we're going to worship you. We're thanking you right now. We declare victory. We give a shout over our wall of Jericho that it shall come down. We thank you right now, Jesus.